Okay, Ron, thank you so much for the wonderful prayer. It was wonderful tonight that we look back and we see and understand these things that God has given to us. And in the book of Colossians, it's become clear that the great important part of Colossians is written for us for doctrinal correction and for the understanding that we have been died with him and we have been raised with him, and that being raised with him gives us the opportunity to be part of his body. And so these first verses of chapter 3 deals with that, and deals with the fact that having been risen with Christ, and that the rule of the old man is put off, because a lot of this come up in the last chapter about a man not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands of nourishment ministered, knit together, increases with the increase of God. That is verse 19 of Colossians 2. And I'll read Colossians 2:20 at the end of this verse that we're going to read. Tonight's study is study 102, and the date is the 28th day of July 2021. Regardless of what the radio station says, this is not my birthday.
It ain't everybody that has two birthdays.
Somebody wrote in last month and said it was my birthday, and of course they got a little thing there where they mentioned everybody's birthday, and then evidently somebody did it again this month thinking it was July the 28th. And I'm getting older quick. And that's kind of a joke of the day. But
I don't even want to have one birthday a year, much less.
And I don't know about these guys that I work with. I work with two guys that had the birthday last month with me. I wonder if they thought their name was going to be called today, too. So I'm not sure they were listening, but if they were, I guess they'd say, well, what in the world's going on? So we're going to get back into Colossians 3, and we're going to start with verse 3, because we did finish 2 last time and the verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. And so up through verse 9, deals with the putting off of the old man and working out this newness that Paul has this information on here, and that everybody has the opportunity to hear. And that's where we're sitting today, here, because we're sitting here with the situation that we now have a greater understanding of these last 7 epistles that Paul wrote, so we can share them with others who may have been chosen also. We don't know. But we can only put it forth and let the Holy Spirit do its work. So here we go. Verse 3, and we're going to do it the way we've been doing it. We're going to read the King James, and then we're going to read my notes, and then we're going to read it out of Jack's Workman's Interlinear. And I can't read Koine Greek, but I'll read what they've brought out of it in the English. And then we'll read Jack's notes and go on from there. And it says this, "For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And so we come to the we come to the situation here that we have realized that we're recognized by God as being dead already by what we have, the conclusions we have come to through the Holy Spirit. And it says, for you're dead, or you have died, and your life, and that word there is Zoe, and that's life in all its manifestations. And life in all its manifestations involves also a resurrection life, that some would say, and others would say eternal life. So it involves resurrection life or eternal life, and is or has been hid, and that is, i.e., laid up in store from Satan. And it has been, our life has already been hid away in God, and it's laid up in store even though we're still living today. And that kind of blows your mind a little bit. But see, God can reckon these things to be so because he knows they're not going to change. And so, you know, here we are. Laid up in store with Christ in, and that word in there is denoting around or about concerning God. So whenever you look at this and it says with Christ in God, well, in God denotes around or about God, and it's concerning this hidden life. And it's, you know, we go back to Ephesians and we look at Ephesians, and it told us that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so that sealing is what does it. And we'll take that up in verse 4. But let's look at Colossians 2:20. I read 2:19, but you don't have to even turn the page on this one. This is an easy one to look for. And I don't even have a note in my Bible or a mark in my Bible where I had to, because we're here already. So 2:20 says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world. Okay, the death is in Christ, and it's from the rudiments of the world. It's from the things that you got from the world. You remember back in Philippians? When we went through Philippians with Paul, and Paul says, all these things I got by my birth, I'm just going to pile them up and count them as a pile of dung. Because he was looking for that came from Christ. Amen. The things that was in Christ. And that's not the rudiments of the world, because the rudiments of the world come from Satan. So the question is this, why is through living in the world, are you subject to these ordinances that we went through? You know, you remember the taste not, touch not, handle not stuff? He says all that goes with the passing, with it being put away or put away from us. And so this is where we are. If we're in this situation with Christ now, and he is protecting us from the evil one, what better place could we be sitting right now than any other place you could think of in the world? So let's go to Jack's book and let's look at it. And out of the Koine Greek, here's how it come out for that. He said, you died for, and the life of you has been hidden with the Christ in the God. In the Christ, with the Christ, in the God. And to bring it on down, it says, for you died and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. And Jack finishes this verse up this way. He says, the believer has died. The life, the body member has been hidden in Christ. The believer has not a physical life any longer. His life is now spiritual. It is non-ending because it is the life given by God. Though Satan can harass, he can no longer have any valid threat to this life. The word hidden is important here, also though often ignored by commentators. This life is difficult for Satan to come upon, because Satan has to come upon this life from afar, or by minions, or by others that's under his control. It does not say that it cannot be found, or that this is a situation of permanence. Suffice it to say that God hides this life from Satan. So when we look at Colossians 2:20, it said, if you be dead with Christ from the roots, then why any longer do we need to worry about these things that the world brings upon us? We need to worry about the things that God has given us to deal with. And this is to learn and to understand that we might be able to already and to meet and to show and to help those that are looking for what we have already. Then we get down to verse 4. It says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, see, we have swapped it for this promise of Christ. This is why we have this faith in fact, because it's the faith of Christ. It's not the faith of us. It's what Christ promised God that he would do. That's the faith that we hold on to. That's the faith that we need to hook our line to. Mm-hmm. Because wherever that line takes us to, it's the line of Christ, and it's going to be complete, and it's going to get you there, wherever it is, whatever it is you need to do. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And I look at this and I think back of my wonderful wife that I had for 59 years and 9 months. And when she breathed out that last breath, it was as if, almost as if a door was going to open. But I think that was the Holy Spirit making his way out, because he no longer had to be there, because the life that Bobby Ann is going to get was already with Christ. I know that. It was already with Christ.
Amen.
So whatever it was that God needed, he had. The only thing left that wasn't gone was the spirit that indwelled my wife. And you couldn't see it, but it was there. I mean, to me, it was a feeling that I'd never felt before. And it may not affect you the same way. And boy, it certainly did me that day. I'll tell you, it did. Never forget it. So verse 4 says, when Christ, who now has charged by sealing, who is or has our life, our Zoe, that we talked about. All its manifestations shall appear or be manifest. And that is that that can be seen. Then we shall also appear with him as part of his body in glory. Titus 2, 12, 13, and 2 Timothy 4, 8 is what we'll look at when we get done here with Jack's rendering. Oh, in verse 4, Jack says this, or through the Koine Greek, when the Christ may be manifested, the life of you then, also you with him will be manifest in glory. And to bring it down to the modern English, when Christ may be manifested, then our life will also be manifested with him in glory. And Jack says this in his notes. The full understanding of verse 3 comes clear here. Our lives are hidden until the appearing. So like Christ is hid in God, we're hid in him. That is, they are safely guarded until Christ is manifested. At this point, our lives may be clearly observed with him. Christ the head, we as the body, appear together with him in glory. This is not to be confused with the parousia or the second coming of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. This is the appearance of Titus 2, 12, 13 and 2 Timothy 4, 8. At the appearing, the body of Christ spoken of in Ephesians 1, 23 shall be taken up to be with him. So let's look at these. Let's start out with Titus. And let's see, it's page 1818. If you have a companion Bible. 1818. Yeah. Okay. Titus 2, 12 and 13. Well, let's look at 11. Let's add 11 to that. I've got that kind of in parentheses in my old Bible here. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that dying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Realizing that we have already been placed with Christ. Mm-hmm. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Okay, that's Titus 2, 12 and 13. So if you want to know where it is and how it is, there it is. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Let's go back and look at 2 Timothy. We don't get there too often. We're going to look at 2 Timothy 2, 8. 4:8, I'm sorry. I do have a bookmark on that one. 4:8, it says, henceforth, thinking what we just talked about, And this is Paul speaking here because he knows this time, 2 Timothy 4 is short. Henceforth, in verse 9, 8, looking at 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day. Full stop. Stop and think about that a minute. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So that's what Paul wrote as his time drew near to the end. But there's one other place was mentioned, and I didn't put it down in my notes. But let's go back to Ephesians 1:23 for just a minute. Everybody can certainly find Ephesians. And I had a bookmark there anyway, where I put it down in my notes or not. Talking about this. When he puts all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body. Talking about that assembly. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. And he's talking here about the pleroma of Christ, the filling of the fullness of Christ our Lord. That was verse 4. Okay, so we'll go back to Colossians 3:5. And we'll read 3:5 in the King James. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And there's five things here. There's fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, in my notes I put down this. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members, talking about the satanic things of man, as is what we call the old man, which are upon the earth. They're number one, fornication. Number two, uncleanness. Number three is inordinate affliction, and that's passion or lust. Four is evil concupiscence, that's desire. And number five is covetousness, which is idolatry. And that's a full stop there. And there's, I don't know, three or four places there that we need to look at with this verse of Scripture. But let's go back and see what the Koine Greek says. And the Koine Greek says, put to death, therefore, the members which upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, desire, evil, and the covetousness which is idolatry. And the way it comes down into the more modern English, therefore, put to death members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, desire, evil, and the covetousness, which is idolatry. These are things to put out of existence. This should be your desire and effort. The five things sum up the panorama of sensual inclinations upon the earth. They are fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These things which may be or have been parts of your life need to be put to death. There is no godly reason to hang on to these. There is every reason and God's command to the risen and quickened believer to mortify or put to death these wicked works, which would make a mockery of your profession. And four places, I guess, here that we need to look at. Romans, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and Romans. So we're kind of going to Romans, and let's look at the two in the Romans first. Let's look at Romans 1:26 through 29, and look at Romans 6:13. So let's just turn back a few pages and go back to Romans. And look at Romans 1:26 and 29. It says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature." I don't know if the way you got it written here, if it's this verse 29, but we'll read down through 29. "Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers." You see the several things there that goes along with all that. And these things are the ones that and it just keeps on going with talking about the murder, debate, deceit, and all these things. So goes along with that. So let's look at 1 Corinthians while we're over here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to read, I guess, 9 through 11. That's the way that goes.
Yeah, go for it, Pop. Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
We're back.
We know that when we put forth God's word fervently, that things are not going to work like they're supposed to. You know, this is the world we live in. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 11. And Paul says, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators." Full stop. "Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetousness, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat, or not to eat with." So, That was what was given to the ones, the people in the former dispensation. And it says, you know, don't eat with those people. Don't even deal with them to the point of eating with them. And but let's go to Ephesians, and we'll wind up with this verse in Ephesians 5:5. And I'm about to get there now. Yeah, Ephesians 5:5. Here we go. It says this, talking about all these big line of things that we were going to put away, and it's kind of sums it up in Ephesians 5:5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And we'll leave that verse there. Verse 5. Now, how much time we got left, Ron?
Oh, it's 9:07. You good?
Still good. Okay. We're moving on tonight. We're getting on down. We're going to look at verse 6. It says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience. So this goes right back along with Ephesians 5:5 there. So that kind of worked right into that. In 6, I put this, for because of which thing's sake the wrath or the judgment of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And so let's look at what Jack wrote. And there's not a lot that he wrote about this verse, because I think he explained it pretty good in the last verse. In verse 5, when we get down here in the Koine Greek, it says, through which comes the wrath of God upon the sons of the disobedient. And it doesn't change very little when it comes down into the English from that. In Jack's summation of this verse, in his notes are these, and it's very, very plain and very short. These who will not hear or heed God's word must certainly pay the price. It is not a popular theme in our time. The truth is not affected by popular nostrums. However, it must be heeded or the peril will come. And so there's three places here that are mentioned in verse 6. And let's go back and look at these again. And let's go back to Romans first and look at Romans 1:18. And we were just there. And Romans 1:18 is, it's on two different pages. Part of it in the Companion Bible is on one page, and part of it is on the other. It's on page 16, 1663 and 1664. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So that was what Jack put in his notes there. And we need to go from there to 2 Thessalonians 1:8. And so we'll go on over to Second Thessalonians. If I can find it. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 is on page 1796. And he talks about in flaming fire taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that had obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, full stop. Now, he didn't stop there because he, in the dispensation that we read this from, he talks to the Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 10. When you get to Hebrews 10 and 11, there's lots of things that was said. Hebrews 10:31, I believe, is where it's at here. Yep. And Jack put this in his notes, and he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is the short verse of verse 6 of Colossians 3. Let's look at 7. Okay, let me get my book to where it'll stay open on verse 7. Okay, Colossians 3:7 says this. Talking about all these things that we've been discussing here, about putting away all these things, not dealing with the folks that are doing them, and not having anything to do with them, not even eating with them. And it says, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye lived in them. And he's saying here, well, in one day, in one place, in one time, you may have been guilty of this. So it says, in the which you walked. And certainly that's a fact. We were all born in sin, and we were all tempted as others. It says, in which you walked sometimes while you lived and followed your own will in or with them. And then there's three places there that we need to look at too. Well, it's actually two places, but let's see what Jack says. We go to the Koine Greek, and it says, among whom ye also walked once when you were living with these. And it's pretty near the same thing when you get out into the English. And Jack says, Paul is talking about these, and they are the children of disobedience. We all, before knowing Christ, were in the midst of the children of disobedience. Your direction may have been plotted by Satan. You sought to follow your own will and had no understanding or no interest in knowing God's will. Yes, you should understand these undirected wayward ones as you yourself were one. So it says, let's look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Galatians 5. It says, now the works, and okay, that's on page 1757. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Full stop. That's a long list.
Yep. And notice how many things are.
It says, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
A lot of them are mentioned multiple times.
Yeah.
In various, I mean, in almost every dispensation.
Right.
Fornication shows up just about first on the list in every list.
Yeah. Okay. And then we got, and then we need to go to Ephesians 2. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. Just a few pages over. And look at verses 2 and 3. Let's just read 1, 2, and 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that was Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And that was verse 7. Jack's notes in 8 are pretty long. Do we got enough?
It's 9:20.
9:10.
9:20. Yep, 10 minutes.
20, okay. All right, let's go back to Colossians and look at one more. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this, but now. Here is one of Paul's but nows. He also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. So this is the list. Changes a little bit, but it's basically the same thing. They're the things of this world.
And you know, it's amazing that in this dispensation, even though we Gentiles never are not or never have been under the law, yet we have all these admonitions to live by.
Right.
The do's and the don'ts.
Yeah. And it says, but now, or at this time, this is Paul. And this is part of his writings. And he don't have to sign it. We know the but nows in these last seven epistles. At this time, ye also put off all these. And there are five here that's listed. The anger, the wrath, these go together. Their judgments or feelings from anger felt. So that's the anger and the wrath. Now, three is the malice. And the malice is wicked actions of the wicked action of a sinful act or deed. So we know that if we live in this world, these are going to come upon us, because this is the way that Satan works. And then you got blasphemy, to vilify, defame, to rail on, to revile, or to speak evil of. That's the fourth one. And the fifth one is filthy communications out of your mouth. So we don't need to get involved in bombarding anyone with things out of our mouth that doesn't do any good. I remember someone coming and having some kind of a problem with my grandfather, who was a Wesleyan Methodist minister. And he railed upon Grandpa pretty good. And I was just a little feller living with Grandma and Grandpa. And when he turned around and drove away, I said, Grandpa, why didn't you set him straight? He said, son, he didn't show any love of God. There wasn't any use in doing that. I never forget it. Never forget it. So that, you know, even a kid, even an 8-year-old kid understood that.
Yeah.
In that situation. And looking at the Koine Greek, it said, but put off also you all things, wrath, indignation, malice, blasphemy, foul language out of the mouth of you. In English, but now also put off all things, wrath, indignation, malice, blasphemy, foul language out of your mouth. So my grandfather held that, whether he knew it or not. He didn't do it. These are five things listed here. Other lists have different things, but they are relative, meaning they come out of the same family. It certainly does not behoove a believer to be known as a man of wrath. The virtues of meekness and humility are much enjoined, but nowhere is the believer encouraged to be wrathful. Indignation is very easy to come by. The root of it is often pride, and that's nothing that God wants you to have. Some would like to excuse their indignation by adding righteousness to it. But this is indignation concerning the treatment of Christ. Malice would wish ill upon another. Certainly, this behavior cannot be lauded in the believer. Do we not wish all men well? Would we not be happy to see any come to the knowledge of the truth? Of course, the believer cannot speak against his Lord and Master. Therefore, he cannot blaspheme. Foul language is often an appendage of the old man. And the old man needs to be put off. Okay, there's two or three places we need to look at here right quick. Let's go to the book of James. And let's look at James 1:21. James 1:21. It says, wherefore, that's on page 1849, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Okay, let's go to John, the book of John. 3:36. The book of John 15:21. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide in him. Let's go to Matthew 7. We're going to look at 21:23. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Okay. 22:23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And we're going to chapter 15 in Matthew. We're going to look at 11 through 18. And it's on page 1343. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after hearing this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and that and then defile the man. So that's 11 through 18. And then we're going to go to one more. Let's look at Ephesians 4:31, and we'll be done. Ephesians 4:31. And it says, I'm going to read 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That is Colossians 3:8. And we'll stop there tonight and pick it up next time and go on from there, starting with verse 9. Thank you for being with us. And we almost got down through the 9 verses that were put forth in this thought of putting off the old man. We got one more verse to go, and then it kind of changes a little bit. Not a lot, but it changes some. But you see, all these things that were mentioned here, and I know they're relative. You could make a list of them for each particular kind of an item that they were coming up with here. And it would really surprise you that, how long a list you could make of all these things that goes along with that. That's the reason Paul says in Philippians, everything I got of the world, everything that I could have used in this world for my benefit, I counted but dung. It's just a pile of stuff. And says, it's the cause of Christ that I was at.
That I may win Christ.
All this other stuff was what I was born with. I come up like everybody else. I was involved in the whole situation like everybody else was. So, we need to realize and we need to understand that we're privileged being saved by His faith through the grace of the Father because of what the Christ did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And that's what he's pushing here, that we get to know fully, that we can advise others as we go down this road of life, even though we're considered to be dead already, but to help them maybe get to where we are, because we're all of us in our different situations is on a little different understandings in these things. If it hadn't been so, they would only been one place in the Bible that would have had to been used to do this. But it was used by other in other times and other dispensations. So think on that. That's how important it really is. God